back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're going to get back out on the Crab Cake Tour Trail very soon. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play. We'll be at Nacho Mama's beginning, give or take, next week. Right around Elvis's birthday is when we're going to do it, to honor Scunny. And we'll be out having crab cakes all year long. You know, it's a new year. And, you know, I was thinking we'd be doing a lot of football this month, and I was thinking, like, what's one of the reasons I didn't book the Crab Cake Tour, because I thought, Buffalo, Kansas City, Tennessee, where are we going to be? Cincinnati. Instead, we're home and doing draft coverage for the next couple months on the football side. So I thought, you know what? I'm getting inbounded by lots of folks with New Year's ideas and messages. And this is a fellow out on the other side of the world. When I read his bio, I said, dude drove tour buses in Alaska. You know, dude's been a bunch of places I haven't been. And if I was going to have such a great 2021 amidst COVID, doing 30 crab cakes in 30 days all over the great state of Maryland, and you know how much I love to travel in my sort of wanderlust heart, I thought it's a great guest to have on here to talk about managing anger and getting happier in 2022. Carew Papritch joins us now, born in Yosemite National Park, and you can probably find him out and writing books and novels and the legacy letters. But we're trying to get rid of anger here, Carew. Welcome in. Happy New Year to you. I'm happy. You know, I've got a wet drink. I got a cold beer at a reasonable price. And I'm staying home during this Omicron variant at this point. So I'm staying safe. How are you doing?
Nestor, it's great to be on your show. Happy New Year, brother. Look at this. I'm in Baltimore. And I'm halfway across the country. This is cool.
Now, where are you now? Give me a little story about yourself. If I meet you in it, because you're pretty complex. Like, to meet me, it's 30 seconds, sports guy, radio guy, blah, 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 you know. But you've done a lot. I've never left Baltimore. I've been all over the world, but I never left here. You have a nomadic spirit about you, I'd say, huh?
Ooh, I like that. Nomadic. No one's said nomadic to me in quite a while. I would have to say, you know, someone was asking about that the other day, and they said, well, how do we describe you? And I said, you know what? I would say, well, adventurous. And I remember as a kid, when I was 14 years old, I made a vow to myself. I wanted to live the most adventurous life I could, whatever that would mean.
Was it something you saw in a book? Was it like some Tom Sawyer thing? What was it?
No, I think it was just this idea. I maybe it was the way I was brought up. You know, I was brought up towards the mountains and around ranches and my folks traveled a lot. I mean, we got out and camped and hiked and climbed and kayaked, you know, so it was a lot of the outdoor life. But I think it was an extension of that, just sort of how do I take on life to its fullest extent, even at that age. And that didn't mean a secure life by any stretch of the imagination. It just meant going, you know, over the next ridge, you know, to where I don't know what's going to happen there, but I'm going to go there as opposed to going backwards.
Well, you know, it's funny for me at this point. I'm 53 now, and I talk a lot about food here because I think it's – look, I do a lot of politics. I piss people off. I'm good at all of that. But, like, bringing people together, one of the things about the Crab Cake Tour was – people say, well, you're going to get sick of crab cakes. You're going to have a crab cake every day. I said, nobody makes a crab cake the same way. Every single place has a different recipe. And I'm in Maryland. It's what we do around here, right? We're famous for it all over the world, the Chesapeake Bay. And food, and the food that comes with it, and the people I was going to meet on the Crab Cake Tour, one of the reasons to do it. But variety and the spice of life and seeing new things and trying new foods and eating a fruit you've never had or a vegetable you've never tried, or eating it prepared in a different way. It's been fun watching the Anthony Bourdains or the Guy Fieri's or, you know, whatever that would be. And I know you have a Hollywood background and making films and making movies and making stars and all of that. But I think in sort of normal life, the one thing we all have a chance to do every single day is do something we haven't done before.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, I mean, you know, try something we haven't tried. It expand beyond wherever the boundary or we perceive our boundaries to be. And I think all of us to get older, our boundaries change a little bit as far as what we're going to try, what we're not going to try, what's worth the trouble, what's not worth the trouble, certainly during plague time. But you've talked a lot about anger and managing stress and finding joy, like, right, dedicating your life to happiness, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, and where's the secret sauce in all this? Now, you actually said it. It's with people. People have these amazing stories to tell you. And I guess maybe being a writer is you know, of course, that's you listen to people all the time. But I find myself in a constant state of, well, as my son and wife like to say, oh, my gosh, there goes Papa again. You know, he's talking to somebody. So I have a feeling you're sort of in that same vein that this is where you find a great deal of happiness and exploration and adventure, hearing people's stories. And I'll tell you what, if you're the type of person that opens up, guess what happens? You get as good as you get. So people will come back to you and open up in the same fashion, the same way. So I find a great deal of solace and happiness in finding other people and connecting with them. And I think in this day and age, when we're looking at all the division that goes on, we talk, oh my God, do we not talk about that till we can't throw up any longer? I mean, it's just like, we're divided. Hey,
but we're very much alike. We very much yes. have the same wants, right?
Oh,
I mean, there's basic human things, I think, for all of us. And and it's become harder to talk to each other. And, I know you've written about that. Tell me about legacy letters before I journey down some highway with you, because you've got this Hollywood background, but legacy letters is really what you're known for.
Yeah. So the legacy letters was a book that I wrote while working on a ranch as a cowboy, the sole cowboy. The quicker backstory is, I worked in the film industry, as in the feature films. I worked in the art department and whatnot. And I just found that the fast life, you know, the bright lights of Hollywood was sort of crowding in on me. And I didn't find much spiritual sustenance in it. So I started driving
around. Los Angeles can do that, right? I mean, literally, I've spent enough time in L.A. I got a lot of friends that have gone out, come back, gone out again, stayed out, you know, rock stars, movie stars, people that want to surf. You know, my uncle went out there in the 70s looking for the good life and like all that. Yeah. People do leave California. I used to say, you got the weather. What are you doing here in Baltimore? Like Peter Schmuck, the old baseball writer, came from Anaheim. And I'm like, what are you doing? They're doing a life in Maryland when you could be in Southern California. The Beach Boys wrote songs about that. But I do think that you see more of that. And certainly you see the really rich people buying places in Montana and finding other places to literally get completely away from everything that Hollywood represents. I would think that a life in Hollywood, like obviously last week we lost Betty White, you know, they had to live that kind of life that long in Hollywood would be very difficult to do.
Yeah, and I think you really have to have sort of not only a moral compass, but a compass that says, this is what's important to me, and not get swayed by everything. And I think part of the deal that for me was the golden handcuffs. You know, you make a lot of money working in the film industry. It's a young man's game. Oh, it's fantastic. But I'll tell you what, after a while, you can see the writing on the wall. There's a lot of unhappy people, a lot of people getting divorced, a lot of people like, wow, this seems almost like a dead-end job in effect. And so I ended up driving around the West. I found this, what I like to call a three-bar town. It only had three bars in it out in southern Arizona. And I asked for a job with this old cowboy. I said, what do you got for work? And he says, I got a fencing job, putting up a barbed wire fence. He goes, here you go. This is here's the directions. I ended up out there in my pickup truck. And this, I'd written books before. It had been a number of years. But for some reason, being that alone and being in a place where you could not see a light to save your life, except for the stars and the moon at night, no kidding. This idea popped into my head about a series of letters this father would write to his kids that he would never live to see. And these letters would become their practical, moral, and spiritual guidebook for them. And that's where the legacy letters was born. And after
sort of a coat of arms, sort of, yes?
Absolutely. Yep, that's it. Yeah. And you know, when it came out, I was surprised at how far it went and how, you know, how well it did. It won a bunch of awards, but not only that, it was the people's response to it. I mean, they would come up and tell me these very intimate stories of their lives based upon what I was putting out through these letters. So at that point, I'm not an author anymore. I felt more like a messenger, and the messenger had to listen to these stories. So it really fit into my life pattern of meeting people and wanting to know what they're about.
Carew Papert's here. You can find him out at thelegacyletters.com and who he is. We'll get to 2022 here in a moment. But I do want to talk about ranching. And you said, well, I was a cowboy. I'm like, whoa. You can't just – I have to stop. I don't talk to a lot of people that say – worked as a cowboy. I mean, we've all seen Brokeback Mountain or, you know, a movie or back yes. in the old John Wayne days or whatever. But you're talking about like in this lifetime, in recent times, a yeah. cowboy in Southern Arizona, huh?
Yeah. So I was brought up around ranches. My granddad had a small ranch when I was growing up and I had some experiences with other ranches, but I'd gotten away from that. And so in a way,
what makes a ranch? Define a ranch. What does it have to be a ranch and not a farm?
Generally, it's cattle. I mean, we think about it, right?
You know, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a working ranch as opposed to a dude ranch. A working ranch, you work the cattle, you work the land, and you sell the cattle, and you get more cattle, and you take care of them.
You make milk, and you make cheese, and you make meats, and you
make
do
everything
things.
You can. Yeah, you're trying to be as self-sustaining
chickens,
as possible.
Are the chickens there with doing eggs?
Not at our ranch.
See, that makes it a farm. If it's got chickens, it's a farm, I think.
And Nestor, biggest thing is people say, oh, you own the ranch. You know, they figured Hollywood, you own the ranch. I was a working stiff. That's a cowboy, you know, and – the wages you get are basically a pickup truck, you know, a side of beef and a saddle and a few bucks to spend on the weekends at the bar. And you do not get paid much, but it's a love of being outdoors. It's a love of that life.
But, you know, in your writings, and, you know, I'm a Springsteen fan and he's written things and gone off into, you know, farmhouses. And I think for anyone that connects, and I'm pretty type A, and obviously, you know, I'm not an introvert, right? The part of writing, I've written a couple of books. I've written four books, mainly on sports, one on my dad. But the Ravens have won a couple championships here. I've had access to write full treatments and stories from different perspectives. But in writing those books, there's a definite Torrance Shining feeling about all work and no play makes, you know, me a dull boy, and you're typing away. It's such a solitude is necessary to write, quiet stillness. I listen to smooth jazz when I write. Yeah. But for anybody that likes people and likes being out, the act of actually writing is so secluded and so sequestered. And you said just you and no lights, literally, right? And a laptop.
Yeah.
That's where we are, and that's how you have to write, even if you are someone that wants to be in a bar having a beer or wants to be out amongst people or wants to be just immersed with people. The act of writing is something you go to your room and you hide and you have to do, and you can't be disturbed. At least it made me very, like, leave me alone. I got to finish this, like a laboratory, you know?
Yeah, like I call it the writer's cave, right? You go way inside. And I got to tell you,
just send in water and bread under the door.
Right. Hey, and Nestor, I want you to get this image. There was no laptop. I was writing by hand on the back of a pickup truck by lantern light.
Yellow legal paper or like in a notebook?
Yeah, it was whatever I had. I think I had some yellow and white. I just wrote the first 100 pages like that.
Well, all the best songs we've ever loved were written on a cocktail napkin on an airplane, right?
Look at Springsteen all over the place, you know? So yeah, totally that. But yeah, that's where you have to go. And I think I sort of call those my Walden Pond years, you know, because definitely the amount of solitude, I wouldn't see people for weeks on end. I mean, can you imagine not seeing anybody for that amount of time? And it's what, you know, I like to call it, it's my early midlife crisis. It's best to have them early. So I did it, and I did it in an incredible place, in an incredible time in my life. And I'm glad I'm where I'm at now. But for that amount of those number of years that I was doing that, it provided the ability for this book to come out, to be born.
Let's talk about anger, and that's why I booked you on here, New Year's resolutions. It's a time of year where, I'm trying to get happier this year, making some moves, selling my condo sort of famously after 20 years, moving from downtown out to the suburbs, like fresh air, Times Square, little Green Acres thing going on. Changes here, right? I mean, I think the plague has changed everything and everybody, not just the economy, the politics of what's going on in the country. And There is a lot of rage. I think you feel it. You go out, you see it. I'm not a part of it. And it has made me, and I've talked to a lot of my guests and friends about this, that when I go out and see sort of ugliness in whatever way, things that I would say aren't kind, things that my mother would say, that's not right. That's not the way you want to act. And to see more of that, to find people, when something comes across my desk, Guru, that says we want to sort of unprogram that, deprogram that, change that. I'm 53 years on the planet. I feel like I've lived through some stuff. But as an American with food on my table, and, my father stood in bread lines in 1929 in Scranton, Pennsylvania, So I heard those stories as a child that maybe we got it better than we think we have it. And maybe there's a way to think about that in a different way here in 2022 to find more happiness and less anger.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's, again, I think so much of it is we talk about what we don't have in common. I mean, that is what you hear everywhere. So what about what do we have in common? It's extraordinary. Look at, we've got the Ravens. Well, we would start with that. But let's say we're talking about
you're a Raven fan.
Right. What's that?
You're a Raven fan.
No, I will. Yeah, I watched them. I watched them the other week, and it was like,
It hasn't gone well lately. Yeah,
I'm a Seahawks guy, so I have to take the hits.
You've had some joy then. You've had some fun.
Some joy.
Not like my brothers and sisters from Cleveland or Cincinnati. You know what I mean? Seriously, there is something about sports now, right? I mean, I've been at this my whole life that when the football team is one here, or even baseball team, if you go way back to 83, the amount of joy and the community and people feeling like, and it's make-believe, it's Hollywood, it's Disney, it's not real, but it feels real, that we're all in it together and we won. We are the champions, right?
Isn't that amazing? You're right, how sports brings us together. Do you know during the pandemic when the NFL was playing, I would have it on all day. I couldn't get enough.
It was the only thing you'd look forward to.
Oh my gosh. And it was unity, right? It was the one thing that you could count on. Like, God, guys, I still want to write Goodell and say, God, man, you pulled me through the pandemic. I mean, it didn't matter.
Now give Colin Kaepernick a job. That's what I would say. But that's just me, Karu Papertz is our guest here. He writes things, a writer of writings. The Legacy Letters is probably the best way to find him. But he's been all over the world and now focused. What are you focused on right now? Where are you, by the way? You have interesting West Coast light going on behind you. Where are you?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm south of Tucson.
So, I've been to Tucson before.
In the desert, high desert. Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, yeah, there's no winter.
We have snow up in the mountains. I can see it right from here. So, and it was 27 degrees last night. So we get real lows and and later on today, it'll be about 65.
Tell me about your next adventure and what's ahead for you in 2022 and continue to talk about losing this anger.
Oh, okay. So one of the things I love to do is I love to get kids excited about reading and writing, especially reading. And so for the last number of years, I've been putting out this series called the I Love to Read series. It's on YouTube. You look up KaruTube, you get to it. And basically it consists of reading the Legacy Letters, which I wish I had a copy of here. But for example, the first one is on the back of a horse. It's the horse I used to work on, Boots. So I'd be reading the book because I love to read and I love to ride. I'd spur the horse. The horse goes off and running. And the funny thing about it, we did three takes of it. And every single take, that horse would fart. Just the biggest, gigantic fart. So that was literally the start of the I Love to Read series. But what we do is we do the reading on the backs of horses, mountain climbing, river rafting in front of the Statue of Liberty, all over. It doesn't matter. It can be playing putt-putt, driving go-karts. But the main idea is to get kids going, and it's sort of a sneaky way to get them thinking about reading. It's like you get them on YouTube. You get them through social media. And they go, what's this guy doing? Why is he doing it? Where is he doing it? And then all of a sudden, the conversation starts, and you get kids. And I've got millions of views on that. It's been just a blast. So I'm going to be doing more of that this year. And one other thing I think you'll get a kick out of being Baltimore positive is National Thank You Letter Day, November 14th. And what we do is we celebrate the writing of thank you letters. And we actually constructed the world's largest handwritten thank you letter, the world's largest stamp, and the world's largest envelope, and we mailed it through the postal system, and we got a Guinness Book of World Records, which just came out the other week, for the world's largest envelope.
You know, I had a guest on this summer doing Baltimore Positive, because I stumble across all sorts of people, right? And I was in Salisbury, Maryland, which is a place that, quite frankly, we don't stop to other than pee or maybe get a milkshake on the way to the beach, get some beer, because you're about 30 minutes from the beach or almost there. You know what I mean? But then they put a bypass in on the highway, so you don't have to go through it anymore the last 15 years. So I had the mayor on from Salisbury, and a woman reached to me. This is the week before I'm doing this crab cake tour, and I told my wife, 2021 was a year of serendipity. You know, it was just, I was in the right place at the right time with the right people. Everywhere I was supposed to be, I was in 2021. And this woman emails me and says she is the ambassador of kindness in Salisbury, Maryland. And I'm like, how do you tell that lady you're not going to have her on your show? You know what I mean? How do you say no to her, right? So she came out, and it was the greatest thing ever. But your little piece about thank you letters sort of resonates with me and sort of hits me in the heart in that way, because, like, I'm a thank you letter writer. You know, I probably, if you were to check my phone, seriously, if I were to do a search on a word, gratitude would probably be the number one word.
Oh, that's great.
So like, you know, like thank you or cheers or you're welcome or sincerely or I love you or any of those things that you would write at the bottom of a letter, yours very truly or even something Shakespearean. But just gratitude. And I've done a lot with Tony Robbins over 30 years and firewalks and human development. So that word, and when you talk about thank you letters and how that sort of ties in, to just say thank you to the people, say thank you to Betty White when she's alive instead of, oh my God, she died, isn't it a shame, right? Say thank you while people are still here.
Yeah. And isn't that, that's sort of interesting, because that's that whole idea of legacy. People think, you know, they say, oh, legacy is when you die or when you're about to die, what's your legacy? I go, God, man, no, it's writing a thank you letter. You have to live your legacy. It's what you're doing every single day. And so I think that's walking your talk. I'm a big, big believer in that. So, I mean, if I had to say.
So on the 14th, you're going to write letters. Like, tell me how this works on November 14th. Because I might have you back for this.
Well, yeah. No, this is great, because we send this out to school kids all across the country. We get it to teachers and to parents. We just say, hey, find someone in your community. Find a parent. Find somebody in your family. Whoever.
Write a thank you letter to someone.
Yes. And it has to be on paper. It has to be a thing you hold. Because when you think about it, if a letter holds time, it holds the time that you take to write it. And if time is the most valuable gift that you have in your entire life, because you're only given X amount of it, think about that time that's going into the letter. You're actually giving the gift of your time on the planet to somebody else. And then you add a thank you to that and a gratitude to that. Wow, how cool is that? And people are always floored, especially now that it's a quote unquote dying art, right? Go, no, it's not. It's not dying to say thank. It's not dying out to be civil or to have civility toward each other, toward manners toward each other, not by any stretch. Is that old fashioned? No, that's timeless. That's a big deal. That's the big difference. So that's how it works. And actually, Nestor, we're not going to make this National Thank You Letter Day. It's going to be National Thank You Letter Month.
Are you a Christmas card sender? Are you that guy, holiday card sender?
Oh, I try.
You know what? I'm not. I never have been.
Yeah.
And my wife is from a smaller town, a little more old fashioned, still there. She came back a couple days late from Christmas because she got trapped in the ice up in New Hampshire. She came back, went down to the mailbox, because I don't go to the mailbox. It's just I don't go to the mailbox. It's just don't. Yeah. It's what she does. Yeah. And she brought up all these Christmas cards. We found them on like December 28th or December 29th, you know. Right. And I'm like, oh, look at that. Hell sent a card from Little Rock. Argonne, look at that. Oh, met my cousins from Middletown, Delaware. Oh, look. So we've put them all, we've plastered them all over the kitchen in the aftermath. But they are thank you letters. They are,
yes,
I care about you and I'm thinking about you. And it is tangible that you have to hold it, right? That is different than an email or a text or an IM. And those are all great too. I all my gratitude's digital at this point, even though I've been holding a pen here. By the way, it's a four-color pen too. These are the special kind. So,
oh, I love those. I miss
those.
Yeah,
well, I got to write in color. I mean, I think in color. You know how. Yeah. Carew Papritz is here. Please go follow him at thelegacyletters.com. And my favorite part of this is I'll never not think of November 14th as anything other than a day to say thank you to people. So I'm going to definitely bring you back for that.
Wonderful, Nestor. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. And guess what? Happy New Year to all your peeps out there.
One of my favorite days of my life, of my career, was spent in North Tucson, Arizona. And my cousin attended the university, the Big A and the Wildcats. She was a tennis player. And I flew in there when I was nationally syndicated in 2000, 22 years. It's 2022, 22 years ago now that I flew to Tucson. And I did an event there, and I had so much fun. And I have fun pictures of it. I was nationally syndicated as a sports host, and I was on in Tucson. And because it was West Coast and I was midday host, I cleared there. And there was a line around the building. But I had such a beautiful memory of Putney Sports Bar in North Tucson. So my love to Arizona. I hope to get back sometime soon.
Sounds good. Come on out. I'll take you on out, Nestor. We'll go out and rack it up.
Just go to Phoenix and head south. That's what I'm going to do, man. Drive
Sounds
fast.
Good.
I'll get there. Carew Papritz, find him at the Legacy Letters and find his works and his Thank You Day, National Thank You Day, Thank You Letter Day in November as well. You can find him out on social media and thelegacyletters.com. You can find me anywhere the internet is served. We're doing intelligent conversations. We call them Wise Chats to thank our friends from Wise Markets. We're also going to be getting back out on the road with the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play, and we'll be doing that at Nacho Mama to kick it off here in 2022, and I have some surprises for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour ahead. I am Nestor. If you need to find me, nasty at WNST.net. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat. Luke is still running around chasing football. Not sure we're going to get to the Super Bowl, but someone's going to get to LA. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.